You're listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 42. Hey everybody, Kayla Lords here. This week, let's talk about something that a lot of people are asking about: where and how to find a good dominant. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at kaylalords.com. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review on iTunes to help other kinksters find us. You can follow me on Twitter at Kayla Lords or stalk John Brownstone at southernsirsplace.com. All links are in the show notes. Real quick, because I know we have some new listeners out there, in case you wondered, I'm not just a kinky woman talking about her kinky life, although I'm definitely that. I'm also an erotic author who writes about DS from a sexy, steamy, kinky, and yet still very realistic perspective. There are no billionaires and secretaries in my stories. My books are available for sale through my website, from erotic romance to some kinky poetry, if that's your thing or if you're curious. Whether you have a Kindle, Nook, or you're just happy to read from your computer, if you go to kaylalords.com/shop, S-H-O-P, shop, you can find all of my books for sale. And if you buy the PDF version as a direct download from me, you'll even save a little too. So the link to my shop is in the show notes if you're interested and if you need a kinky read right now. Okay, so let's get into the show because that's really what we're all here for. Over the past few weeks, several people have reached out in different ways, email and Facebook and Tumblr and wherever I can be found, with the same type of question. And it's sort of too big of a question for me to sit down and type out in a simple email, hey, this is what you can do. And they're all asking some version of the same very specific question: where do I find a good dominant? Which tells me you have zero problems finding the crappy ones, right? Yeah, I figured. Unfortunately, that's way too easy. Now, as much as I wish I could give you sort of like, here, do these three steps, check them off your list, this is what you need to do, or send you to some, you know, remote island where the dominant of your dreams is just waiting for you to sort of pick him or her like you'd pick a flower or something, it's not really that simple. It's not as hard as you think it is, but it's not that simple either. What I will do, or try to do today, is to tell you what I think you should do and not do to help you find the right dominant for you, okay? And there's a chance, y'all, that it is not what you think the answer is. It's not just go to a munch. It's not just go to FetLife. There's a little bit more to it than that. Now, I know where the question comes from, a few places actually. You know, you're propositioned by assholes who only want pictures of your tits or your pussy or your cock or whatever. Or, you know, you thought you were close to having a good DS relationship and then they vanished or freaked out on you or just became someone you didn't recognize. And I know you see relationships like the one that I have with John Brownstone and other DS couples online and you decide that's what you want and you want it for yourself, but you don't know how to get it. I promise y'all, I understand. I have been there in a few ways before John Brownstone. And long before I met John Brownstone, I followed kinky blogs and I wanted what I read between the lines of all their sexy, smutty posts. I wanted that kind of connection and that closeness. And the reason I talk about our DS relationship, good, bad, ugly, and everything in between, the way I do is because it takes more than the really kinky, erotic, sexy moments that you might read online to make a relationship. And for those of you who are new to BDSM and DS, I get why you'd ask a question like this. The kinky world from the outside looking in looks kind of like a, you know, special club or gang that we've all joined, and you don't know what the words that we use mean, and you wonder if there's some sort of special handshake to let others know that you're, you know, one of us. Well, I get it. It can be intimidating and weird and scary and a million things that are anything but kinky. So yeah, you'd ask the question and I understand that too. But the thing I really need all of you, especially the submissives actively currently looking for good dominance and you keep coming up short, what I need you to know is this one very simple principle. And anybody who's kinky and has been doing this for long enough can tell you, kinky people are people, okay? There's no special place to meet us, minus the munch that I will always encourage you to go to, of course. Most of the time you can meet us anywhere. There's no secret code or handshake you need to know. You know, we don't walk around, you know, saying the blue moon rises in the east and then you're supposed to say, you know, but my shoelaces are untied. Look, y'all, I just made up a secret code. Okay. If you want to know if somebody's kinky, tell them the blue moon rises in the east. And if they say, but my shoelaces are untied, clearly they're kinky, or they're at least a listener of the show. I did it for you, but it doesn't even exist. Okay. There's nothing special you need to know about how to meet other kinky people. Are there things you need to know about kink? Of course there are. The things you need to know about BDSM and DS? Of course there are. But trying to meet people is trying to meet people. Doesn't matter what their flavor is. So meeting a good dominant is a lot like meeting a good vanilla partner, or the person who becomes your best friend, or the guy you decide you'll carpool with. You know, I mean, it's not as hard, really. It's hard and it's not hard. Let's put it that way. It's hard and it's not hard. So, you know, I don't want to make too light of it. There are some specific ways to go about meeting kinky people that you wouldn't have to do in a vanilla situation, or to at least know that the group of people you're with is probably kinky. You know, there are some signs, sure, that you can look for. But just remember, first and foremost, kinksters are people, okay? We look like anybody you'd see in a restaurant. We look like people you work with. We sometimes are people you work with. And meeting a good dominant isn't as different from meeting, hopefully, you know, you've had a decent partner in the past. They just weren't kinky. But it's not as different as you might imagine it to be. So I'm going to start with the sort of the initial question, because the question itself is bigger than the question that I've been asked. Let's start with where to meet a, quote, good dom. And then I'm going to get into the part that has been sort of on my mind and I've been playing in my mind for a while now of how to meet one. Okay, so you go to the where, well, what do you do next? And that will come next. So we'll start with the where and then we'll get to the how. So now, I've said it before, I'll say it again, I'll say it forever. I am a huge, huge advocate for meeting kinksters in your local community, okay? And that is on every list I will ever give you. Even if I don't say it, understand, it should be understood and not stated, but it's there. You should always try to go to a munch to meet people in your local community, because it is a lot harder, not impossible, but a lot harder for somebody to fake who they are when you're looking them in the eyes than it is across, you know, an internet connection and through a keyboard. Okay. So the munch is always top of the list, but I also understand, as somebody who found kink online and met John Brownstone online, that it almost always starts online these days. So that's what I'm going to focus on. Let's talk about online. Okay. Where do you go to find the good doms when you're online? Here's the deal. Wherever you spend your time online, there are kinksters there. You might not know they're there. They're there, okay? Yeah, you can go on FetLife, and I recommend it, okay? First of all, that's how you find your local kinky community and the people in your local area. And then that's how you can educate yourself. You can find the different groups you can join about being a submissive or being a baby girl or being a dom or wanting to be poly or whatever your thing might be. It's there. There's a group there that you can join and learn about it. So FetLife, for all its problems, is always an option. And of course, it's where the kinksters are. But you can also be on Twitter and Tumblr and Facebook and Instagram and Pinterest and Google+, and I am sure Snapchat and whatever else is out there that I don't even know about, okay? John Brownstone and I met through our mutual blogs. I mean, yeah, I was blogging as a kinky woman, and he was, you know, he's Southern Sir, so clearly he was kinky, but out of millions of blogs, billions maybe, on the internet, we connected there. So wherever you go online, there you'll find them. Wherever people are, someone in the mix is kinky, other than just you, okay? Now, I recommend when you go online, my recommendation is go to whatever online space you're most comfortable with. You know, if you don't have a FetLife profile yet, yeah, go ahead and maybe start one. You know, nothing wrong with that. There's a lot there. There's a lot of bad, but there's also a lot of good. But if you're the type of person who lives on Facebook and you just love Facebook, well, start there. And if Twitter's more your thing, go there. You know, kinky people are everywhere, y'all. We are everywhere. So the thing when you are online, especially if it's in a space that you already spend some time in and that you have, you know, an online presence, is you're going to have to decide, if you haven't already, whether to create a completely separate online persona and, you know, fake name and a fake avatar and whatever, or to use whatever profile you already have. And the decision's yours. There's no right answer, okay? I have separate accounts because that's what I did for me because that worked for me. A lot of people do, but I know plenty of people who don't. That's who they are, and people will take them or leave them, and they don't care. Nothing wrong with that either, okay? Now, just from personal experience, if let's say your thing is Facebook and that's where you're going to look for your fellow gangsters, if you decide to create a separate non-vanilla account so that, you know, your parents can't find you and your grandparents can't find you and your kids can't find you, and I totally get that too, you need to understand with Facebook, it is actually a violation of their terms and conditions for you to be one person with multiple accounts. You know, unlike every other social media outlet out there, Facebook cares a great deal. And eventually, when you have a fake profile, you are found out, whether you're reported or they're just doing a sweep. It doesn't matter. And you'll get shut down. When you can't prove this identity as you, you'll get shut down. So you have a choice if they do that. You either start over from scratch, recreate the account with a slightly different name and go refriend everybody, or you move on and go somewhere else. So it's a decision, you know, if you're like, oh, I'll just create a different Facebook profile, I'm not going to tell you not to. I did it. I had a Kayla Lourdes Facebook profile and it got shut down twice and I couldn't get them to accept the IDs I gave them to show that I do business as Kayla Lourdes, because I don't officially do business as Kayla Lourdes. I don't, like, in legal sense. And I finally just said, screw it, and I'll just keep my page. So I'm actually not on Facebook the way most of us are, you know, as Kayla Lourdes. So if you do that, just be aware that it can happen, that if they find you, they'll shut you down if it's not a real account. So just giving you my 2 cents. So anyway, once you've picked wherever you're going to be and created your account or made your settings private enough so that, you know, your grandma can't see the kinky stuff you like, now it's time to sort of search out the kinksters. And it's kind of easy, y'all. I mean, just because, you know, Facebook is where you share all your favorite recipes doesn't mean it's not where the kinky people are too. And the search function of any of those sites is going to be your friend. So you search for kink, or you search for dominant, or you search for BDSM, or you search for submissive, or whatever. And there's going to be a page or a group or a person, you know, who's used that hashtag or something. And you're going to start finding people. Now, depending on which site you're on, you want to do it differently. Just start sort of following people that seem interesting or that seem to have similar interests. On Facebook, the best thing I can tell you to do there is to do groups, because the kinky groups are going to be kept private, so not the whole world won't know you're in a kinky group, usually, if it's set up right. Now, back in the day when I did have a kinky Facebook profile, I was part of a couple, BDSM Without the BS. I don't know if these are still active, y'all. And then there was a DDLG group that I cannot remember the name of. Be prepared, and I don't care. I saw this on FetLife, and I've seen this on Facebook, and it's everywhere. The bigger the group, the more drama you're probably going to find. Simple. And you're like, what, huh? Yeah, because people are people, right? So regardless of you know, whether we're kinky or vanilla, and someone, there's always someone in every group that's either always getting offended, they're misunderstanding what they read because they're not reading it clearly, or they're stirring up problems. So really big groups will have some element of that. I have completely rejected joining some FetLife groups because I did not like the vibe when I went in there. And then some I was like, yeah, there's always one or two, and I joined anyway. So if you're on Facebook or FetLife and you go for a group, just be aware of that. Now on Twitter and Tumblr and Instagram and others like that, hashtags are what you're going to probably start following. Now on Twitter, I have a lot of people I follow, a few thousand, and I can't keep up with all of them. So I have lists on Twitter, and they're valuable for me because I can follow specific lists and see what people are doing. But I have one specifically called Fellow Kinksters. Now I don't know all the people on that list personally, and I might not necessarily know what their kinks are, but they're people I've identified as kinky to some degree. And that can be, it's on the spectrum of kink, y'all. It's from light to heavy to professionals, you name it. So what I'll do, if you're on Twitter and you're like, yeah, but who the hell do I follow? On the show notes, I will link to that list that I have. And that'll maybe give you a starting point of some kinky people out there. Tumblr, if you are new to Tumblr, you might not know this, but if you have a Tumblr account, you know, it is almost too easy to find kinky people. Like, close your eyes and like, point your finger and you've just touched a kinky person on Tumblr. Okay. Google Plus has plenty of groups. It's another good place for groups. Google Plus is really open. I have posted all kinds of filthy, filthy images on Google Plus, and they've never like knocked me for it, dinged me for it, made me take it down. So Google Plus isn't that bad. I know there are kinksters on Instagram and Pinterest. I know that for a fact. I'm on Pinterest, not on Instagram. But those two sites are the most unforgiving sites when it comes to sex in general and anything kinky and anything that could be considered, you know, inappropriate based on somebody else's, you know, idea of inappropriate. So there might not be as many on Instagram, but they are there and you can find them. Hashtag, like I said, do some searches for some hashtags and that's your friend. So that's the first thing. Start online somewhere and just pick one spot. And if you're comfortable across social media and there's not a single site you use that you're not comfortable with, then fine, do it multiple ways. But if you're sort of this person that's only ever spent all your time on Facebook, well then see if you can start on Facebook. Or if you're really comfortable with Twitter, start on Twitter. Even if it means you create a separate profile, go to where you're comfortable, because then you'll know how it works and that'll take some of the stress off of it. And y'all, it really can be the blogging world. Okay, now the blogging world, we are a looser community in the sense that you can't go to one place and find all of us. It's not like Facebook where you can find everybody on Facebook. In the blogging world, it comes in so many different forms that you kind of have to search us out. But we are all connected in different ways. There are different top blogger lists. I'm on a few of them myself. Molly Moore does one. Marie Rebel does one. Kinkly does one. And they're not all kinky blogs. They're not all kinky people. But there are people who talk about sex. And so some of them are kinky. And the reason that the blogosphere is kind of an option, other than the fact that that's how I met John Brownstone, it's because it does have a sense of community. And you are going to a space where it is very kink friendly. If you go to a kink blog and they're talking about kinky things, then guess what? You are more than welcome to join the conversation and talk about kinky things. Now, the way to sort of join that community, you start on a blog by a kinkster that you like. We'll use me as an example. And I may link out to Marie Rebel's site, or I may link out to Molly Moore's site. And when a kinkster that you follow links to somebody else's site and, mentions them as another kinkster, mentions them as a good writer, go check out the site that they're linking you to, because you may find another kinkster like, oh, wow, they're sharing good information too. And what you do is you come across these sites, you start commenting when it's meaningful, to just go, oh, this is a nice post. And that doesn't really add anything to the conversation. We appreciate bloggers. We love comments. We really like comments that start a conversation and join the conversation. But the more you comment on the different blogs you enjoy, you don't even have to have your own blog and you're immediately part of the community. I know several of us, we have some of the same people who comment on all of our posts at different times, not every single post we write. And if we haven't, if as a group, as a collective, we haven't seen a person for a while, we'll start looking for them, because they might not be writing their own blogs, but they're a part of our community and our family. And if they like disappear, we get nervous. Where did our person go? So you can do it that way too. It's one of those things I would tell, I think it would probably work more if you're already lurking and you're reading the blogs, but you're never commenting because you're afraid somebody will, figure out that you are a school teacher, or that you're kinky in your hometown, and that whatever you're worried about. First of all, when you go to a kinkster's blog, we at least understand privacy. And two, you can create your own anonymous profile as a commenter as well. So it is another way to join a community and meet other kinky people. So just, I always like to put that one out there, because that's how I met John Brownstone, is through our blogs. So once you've figured out where you're going to go look for the good dominant, what are you supposed to do next? Okay, well, this is where it gets a little tricky. And I might get a little ranty because I have strong opinions about this. So there are some things that I'm going to recommend that you not do. Like, don't do these things. And then there's some things I absolutely think you should do. And this isn't about kink. It's just about human nature and trying to make the search that you're on a little less stressful. It's still stressful. You're trying to meet new people. You're trying to, maybe have a relationship if it goes in that direction. There's so many different variables to it. DS requires trust. You've probably come across an asshole or two so far. So you're like, uh-oh, who do I trust? I get it. It's already a stressful process. I have some opinions. And I'm pretty sure none of you are shocked by that. So I'm going to start with what I don't want you to do. And this is based on things that I have seen firsthand, y'all, that people do, and it never leads to a good outcome ever. Okay. So here's a truth I'm going to lay down on you. From the first time you use a hashtag that is clear that you're into kink, whether it's, you know, hashtag BDSM, hashtag kink, hashtag, you know, dominant, whatever. What, I don't even know all the hashtags we use. I only use a few. Or you say, you know, you put in your profile or your profile name that you're submissive, or that you comment on something and it is clear that, it might not even be clear that you're submissive, but it's maybe clear that you're female. And if this happens to guys, I would totally love to know about it. Not because I want it to happen to you, but because I've never heard of it happening to male submissives or men in general. Okay, so the moment you do that, you are, unfortunately, open game for trolls, wannabes, and assholes, okay? And I don't care what site you're on. I mean, yeah, FetLife gets a really bad rap for this, but they are everywhere, and these freaks are always waiting in the wings for the people they perceive to be new. Even if you're just new to the site, if they've never seen you in this group or they've never seen you on this page, you're new to them, okay? And it's like there's this red flashing light over your head or something that says, you know, come here and be an asshole to me, okay? Some of y'all already know what I mean. It's why you asked me the question in the first place. So these predators are on the lookout for fresh meat, for people that don't know them and don't realize that they're, you know, a freakazoid and a predator. And there's very little you can do to deter them from reaching out to you, okay? Now, I think all of them, you can set your profile to like super duper private so they can't see anything. And that is definitely an option. And if you are concerned, I highly recommend it. But if you state in your profile that no direct messages are allowed or no private messages, or you're not looking, even if you are, you state it, that doesn't mean anything, okay? That does not stop them. It's almost like fuel to the fire, okay? And in this case, you are looking. It's okay to say that you're not looking if you think it'll stop a troll, but it will not stop a troll. Okay, so here's what happens. And some of y'all know what I'm about to say. You're going to get this message that says, call me master, or can I spank you, or send me a picture of your fill in the blank with a body part, tits, cock. I assume, you know, maybe guys don't get these messages. You know, they are coming at you, demanding something from you. They probably haven't even said hi yet. They might have said hi and then followed it up with, oh, I see you're submissive, bow down, bitch, right? Oh, God. Yeah, I know. They're frustrating and they're awful and they just make your skin crawl sometimes. And I get it. Okay. I've gotten those messages myself. I get it. But I want you to do, my perspective, this is my opinion, y'all. Y'all ask the question, so I'm going to tell you. I want you to do one thing. Just one. It's all you got to do. Delete the damn message. Don't engage in conversation. It's not flirting. It's predatory, okay? And even if you reply back with an, I don't appreciate this kind of message, you're feeding the troll. They've just gotten a response from you, okay? They know you've seen the message. They know you've responded to it. They enjoy that, apparently. And now they know they have your attention, and they are likely going to keep coming back at you or turn hostile, okay? Which is kind of scary when that happens, especially if it feels like it's happening out of nowhere. So when you get that message, there's no point in talking back to them. You don't know that person. They haven't introduced themselves. You don't have an established rapport or relationship with them. You don't even want it. If you wanted it, you would have responded the first time it happened to you, and you'd be in some sort of strange kind of relationship that I don't understand, but you don't want it. So guess what? Do not engage. Ignore, delete, and move on. Okay. And yes, it's cool. There are going to be days it feels like that's all you get are all these messages. Okay. Let them come through and just keep on deleting them, or make your profile as private as the site allows and try to eliminate some of it. And I will say, and I will always say, and I believe this, if you feel in any way threatened, scared, harassed, anything from even one message from one troll, block them and then report them, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. And I get it. I can hear some of y'all out there because I harp on it. I talk about submissives being respectful and polite. Someone's going to say, well, isn't that impolite? Isn't that rude? And I was raised that way, that, you know, you respond when people speak to you and you're polite. Online world's a different game. Kink is a completely different game. I know it happens in the vanilla world, but there's something just creepier when it's somebody who takes your kink and your BDSM lifestyle and turns it into something yucky, right? So you are not rude. when you ignore these people, okay? These people are not interested in getting to know you as a human being. They're not interested in being your actual dominant and getting, you know, encouraging your submission and earning your submission. No, they're looking for a cheap thrill. That's all they're looking for. And they might be looking for other scarier things, but I'm sure they're looking for a cheap thrill. Here's the deal. The dominant you want is not going to approach you like this, okay? They're not going to make demands before they even know who you are. They won't start ordering you around without your consent. The person who sends you this type of message is not a good dominant. And hello, the point of this conversation is you're looking for a good dominant, right? Yeah, this isn't it. Now, that's one trolley kind of thing that happens. But I know there's the other side of it. Sometimes the first message is okay. And maybe even the second one. And maybe you just got into a conversation and you think, huh, this person's okay. You know, maybe there's something to it. And then they go creepy on you. Then they go predatory. Then they start, you know, ordering you around and bossing you around or demanding things. And you haven't even talked about it yet. And you're really uncomfortable. And this is like a complete 180 from the person you were just sort of in a conversation with. My advice is only slightly different. And the reason being is because I understand we're not all the same, and some people will want to handle this different. So when that kind of thing happens to me, and it doesn't happen to me very often because I'm very, very wary of who I get into private conversations with, because I know that this is possible and it does happen a lot. But so when it happens to me, I just ignore them. If we've taken this from a, hey, how you doing? I like your blog. Oh, great. I like yours too. Oh, and then it goes like weird and, you know, you want to be my bitch, baby, or some stupid stuff. Okay, I just ignore them. I'm done. Conversation over. Delete the thread. Move on, right? It's, for me, it's that simple. I don't have time in my life to deal with that kind of drama. There's no point to it. But and if they get really bad, I will block them and I will report them. And I don't do, and that's very rare for me, but I will do it. But I understand human nature too. And this might be someone you thought they were okay, and then they turn out to be an asshole, and you're pissed, right? You're pissed, and you want to tell them that this is not cool, and they need to stop this shit, and you don't appreciate it, and you've got an opinion, right? Okay. So I know there's that need to respond and to let them know. My opinion, this is me, y'all. This is Kayla talking to you. I'm just one woman here. My opinion is one reply. If you reply at all, and I don't advocate replying, I say ignore their stupid ass, but if you're going to reply, if you're going to tell them what you think, once, one message to say, you're a dipshit asshole. And, you know, I don't know. I'm really bad at insults. I don't know. Just tell them something, right? You got something to say to them. After that one reply, that one message back, you're done. You stop talking to them. They're going to reply back. Okay, they're going to keep this conversation going because now they're under your skin, or you've pissed them off and they now want to call you awful, ugly names because you didn't do what they thought you did. And sometimes they're going to tell you you're not a real submissive, or they're going to tell you that, you know, you're never going to find anybody and you're awful at this and they could make you happy. They're going to tell you all kinds of stuff. At that point, if you did feed the troll, because that's what it is at this point, and you did respond, you're done. Be done with it. Delete the thread. If you need to, block them. Okay. That's what I want you to do. When you get these guys, and I say men, and it's not all dominance, but God knows it is men. I've never heard of a woman doing this. And I've said this before. If anybody has experience with a female dominant behaving this way, I want to know about it because I've never heard of it. And I don't think that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. I've never heard of it. It's always the guys, and it's always the predatory ones. It's never the real dominants. It's the ones who have proclaimed themselves dominant and then don't have a dominant bone in their damn body. So that's the way to sort of deal with that. Okay. And let me remind you, in this case as well, you're not being rude or disrespectful now either. Okay. The kind of dom you want is not going to do that to you. They're going to respect your boundaries. They're going to get to know you first. They might engage in some light flirting. Sure. If you're both, you know, interested and available and you know it, that might happen. But if they do something that makes you uncomfortable and you tell them that they've made you uncomfortable, you do have to do that. They're going to apologize and then they're not going to do it again. But they're certainly not going to come at you in an overly aggressive way unless you have somehow said something to indicate that that's what you want. And even then, a good new to you dominant is going to be very leery of that. They're not they're going to wait for a very clear sign, you know, before they get aggressive, but if you've indicated you want that. So there won't be any question about, was I asking for this? You'll know if you asked for it, because you will have clearly stated it somewhere. I would love it if you just told me what to do. Okay. You say something like that, and then the very next message is them telling you what to do. Well, there you go. They had your consent. But if you're just having some run-of-the-mill conversation and you happen to mention you're submissive and then they come out with that, well, guess what? No, that's a predator. That's an asshole. That is not the good dom you're looking for. Okay. So in the search for a good dom in the online world, if you get nothing from all my ranting just a minute ago, the thing I don't want you to do is to respond to the assholes, douches, wannabes, posers, and predators. Okay? They aren't worth your time or attention. You do not have time and space in your life for that kind of bullshit. And it is that. It is bullshit. Okay? Now, you're ignoring them. Is there anything else you shouldn't do? Why, yes, I'm glad you asked. There is, okay? And I'm including this on my list because I have seen it happen to John Brownstone at least a couple, you know, every couple of weeks, he'll get a message from a submissive. And I'm glad I'm not a jealous woman, because if I was, I would crawl through the internet and find these people. But I'm not a jealous woman, so we're good. I don't have to do that, okay? Here we go. Here's the thing I do not want you to do. Do not, I repeat, do not message a dom that you do not know and say something like, spank me daddy, or make me come, or can I be your submissive, or some variation, okay? I'm going to tell you in a little bit that there's a place for reaching out and being not aggressive, but being forward. Let me help you. This is not that time, and this is not that way, okay? Think about this. You do not consent to some random wannabe dom telling you what to do when you've never even had a conversation with them, okay? Trying to dom you when you've never consented to it. How do you think a dominant feels when there's a submissive throwing themselves at him or her and they didn't ask for it and they likely don't want it? John Brownstone's case, he does not want it. He's got all the submissive he needs at home, okay? He's not on Tumblr out seeking a submissive, okay? And if he was, that's not how we go about things in our relationship. That's not how we let people in, okay? So here you go. You hear me now. Don't do it. Now, I said it before, I'm not a jealous woman. I'm territorial. I've marked him, y'all. I have totally marked him. But I don't like it. It pisses me off. It annoys me because I think, oh my God, they're not even helping themselves. And then it kind of pisses me off because I'm like, wait a minute. We don't, you know, he doesn't have it advertised and plastered all over his profile that he's taken. He doesn't need to, and I don't need him to do that. But if you stick around for a couple of minutes, you'll figure it out. He doesn't hide it either. So it's just what the doms do to us in reverse, and it's just as bad. And y'all, the good dominants, the ones that you say you're looking for, they are not impressed, okay? And they're either going to think, and I think rightly so, that you're either very uneducated in DS and kink, or you're desperate, okay? You don't want them to think either of those things. And if you're not careful, and if you're, and this is a warning to you, okay? If you are not careful and you do that, you're going to do it to someone who's actually a predator, and then you're going to get yourself into real trouble, potentially, okay? So it's not just because you're ticking off the submissives who are going, did you really get this message? You're putting yourself in potential danger because you don't know who you're sending that kind of message to. And it's why we all advocate. And talk to any kinkster who's been in the lifestyle for more than about 5 minutes and has had a successful relationship or two, and they're going to tell you the first thing you actually need to do is to get to know somebody, not demand dominance or demand submission. Okay? Now, John Brownstone is a better human being than I am. when it happens to him, he has one of two reactions, and I guess it depends on the profile of the person who sent it and if he's seen them around. If he thinks they're just confused and have convinced themselves this is how kink works in the online world, and I know you're out there and some of y'all have thought that incorrectly before, he will probably send them one and only one message to educate them on, you know, this is not appropriate. This is not the way to go find yourself a dom. There are better ways than this. This is not it. And guess what? I'm not available and not interested. But sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he does exactly what I do. Delete. And he might block. If he goes to a profile and they, you know, appear to be, because it happened, he's a daddy dom, y'all. So he gets underage requests too. And so he has to block a lot of people. But the problem is, a submissive that does that has made an ass out of herself and still doesn't have a dominant partner. So nothing has been accomplished. Okay. I think I got myself a little worked up there. I got to take a second and sort of breathe. Because, oh gosh, the last one that it happened, I was, something about it made me mad. I don't know. It just made me mad. Whew, I'm breathing now. Okay. So now that I've ranted at you and I've rambled at you and I've probably yelled at you, and I apologize if I've yelled at you. Well, you're like, okay, that's what not to do. I don't do any of those things. Good. If you are one of those people, good. You've like not done the things I say not to do. Wonderful. So what do I think you should do? Let's get to that side. What can you do to actually actively help yourself? This is where it actually gets more difficult for you. You have to do a little bit more work. And it might be something that you've tried before and not followed through. And it might be something that the moment I say it, you're going to cringe and hide under your bed and say, no, 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 please don't make me. Well, okay, I can't make you do anything. I'm submissive too, y'all. In my opinion, your likelihood of success goes way the hell down. So just hear me out, okay? Just hear me out. So you've got your profile. You've joined some groups. You've followed some people. The next steps are totally on you. I want you, now just come closer. You'll be okay. I know you're scared. I want you to reach out and talk to people. Now, in a public setting, okay, it's simple enough. You put a genuine, real, heartfelt comment on a blog post, or you respond to something that was shared in a group, or maybe you share your own thing. You ask a question, or you come across an article, and you're like, oh, y'all have to read this, and you share it. You retweet or you reblog something that touched you in some way. It could be kinky and erotic. It could be something that like hit you, you know, on a more personal level. It doesn't matter. With a comment about how you feel, okay? You have to be real. You have to be yourself in this. This is not a game you're playing where you're going to pretend to be something you're not. You're absolutely going to be real. Now, what's going to happen, ideally, and it doesn't happen immediately. Sometimes you get lucky and it does, but it's rare. You're going to figure out the people who appear to be decent people, decent kinksters, safe people. Okay, they seem to be genuinely themselves. And I have to say they seem to be, because online we can all be whoever we want to be. And there are people who go to elaborate lengths to appear to be something that they're not. I do not have that kind of time or that energy. What you see is what you get. I might not talk about my vanilla life, but on the kink side, this is it. And I respect the people who are like that. And sometimes we get awkward, and sometimes we say stupid stuff, and sometimes, you know, we misstep, but we're real. And that's what you want, is you want a real person that you can find to connect with. Now, once you sort of get a feel for who those people are, especially if you're truly looking for a dominant, you're like, okay, this is my thing. I want to connect to submissives and make friends, but that's often much, much easier because we already have the connection and the pressure's off. But you're trying to connect to doms and get a, and maybe find a good dom one day. Okay. I want you to actually talk to them. Now, you can do this very subtly. Again, still, please be your genuine self. Do not play games. Do not pretend. I feel like I should need to say that over and over again, because some people get it in their head that they have to be a certain way in order to get attention. And I'm telling you right now, you need to be who you are, whoever the hell that might be. Okay. So what you do is you, it happened to me back in the day before John Brownstone. I know what happens. I'll give Tumblr as the example, because that's where it happened for me. I was following people because I liked the images they posted. I didn't really pay attention. Are they a dominant? Are they a submissive? Are they kinky at all? I just like the images. Well, the active people on Tumblr tend to be very, very active, and you see them over and over again. And there were probably three dominants that I thought, oh, I really like what they post and I really like what they write. And when they answer questions, they seem very kind. And I am naturally pretty introverted. I know it's hard to believe when you're listening to me talk like this, but I really am. And I tend to be pretty shy, socially anxious. I just can't handle it. But online, it's a lot easier. So I would reblog something that they would blog, and I'd add a comment that maybe addressed a comment that they had said, but was still my own opinion. Or they'd say, oh, I've got my inbox open, send me questions. And I might send them a question. And I would try to engage in conversation, not in a, I'm on the hunt for a dominant, because I wasn't, but sort of a, you seem interesting and you seem safe. And I just like you as a person. I think you might be an okay person. Nothing really ever came of it other than that they were very nice and very gracious. And it was good. I'm not disappointed. Nothing came of it. Hello, I've got John Brownstone. But it was that. It was not forced. It was not disingenuous. It was me being me, just connecting with people, okay? And I didn't purposely sort of seek out the dominance, but those, as a submissive, when you are in the presence of a good dom, whether they're yours or not, you tend to feel more secure. It comes sort of with experience if you're unfamiliar with it. Once you are around your first decent dominant, they don't even have to be yours, they're just a good dominant, you tend to feel more secure. So they gave me that feeling through the internet, and I think I'm right about them even to this day. They're still very active on Tumblr. So I was trying to connect on common interests, and that's what I'm telling you to do, okay? Reblog, retweet, comment to their, you know, respond to their comments. Try and start a conversation in a public forum where you're not hiding anything and they can respond or not respond, and it's okay, okay? And it doesn't even have to be kinky. It could be vanilla. It's just a matter of finding some commonalities and being genuine about it. Now, if you get a vibe that they're kind of responding to it and they seem open, they're not, you know, they're not ignoring you if you respond, or they're not ignoring you if you ask them a question. Like somebody might post something about, you know, rope bondage, specifically like shibari, right? I know John Brownstone does all the time. And you have an interest in bondage and you have an interest in them. You don't know what the interest is, but you're like, oh, they seem like an okay person. You can very genuinely and innocently ask them a direct question about shibari, okay? Publicly, do it, you know, under the thing they post, you know, tweet at them so everybody can see it. You're not hiding anything. You're like, oh, I see you posted this. Here's my question. If they respond to you and they can engage in conversation with you, that's a good sign. It's not about finding your dominant partner that's going to love you forever. It's about connecting with people in the lifestyle and making friends. Okay. That's what it's about. Now, if you move past that point, if you get to a comfort level with them, or every once in a while you might throw out a tweet, or you know, reblog something, or wherever you are, where whatever space you're on, and they respond to it in a friendly, lighthearted manner. Here's the next hard step that worked for me. And that's why I include this. Okay. Cause some people can keep it in the public space, you know, in the Facebook group or on your Twitter feed or on Tumblr. But sometimes you just want to say something without the whole world looking. And it's not sexual and it's not kinky. You just want to have a conversation without everybody staring at you. I did this with John Brownstone. And this is going to scare some of you because it scared me. I was sweating bullets when I did it. Private message them if that's available, or email them if you happen to have their email address. In the blogging world, I can see if you put an email address in as a commenter, I can see that. And John Brownstone had a profile on WordPress, and so therefore I could see his email address. And so I had his email address and I was able to email him. And I emailed him and I just said, you know, thanks for making me laugh and thanks for being supportive, because he'd been commenting on my blog. Thanks for commenting. And it was just very innocent email. I wasn't even looking for anybody, y'all. I was like brokenhearted and, you know, down with, you know, relationships, and I'll just be alone and have 20 cats. And that, I didn't have any cats, but that was my plan. I'll just be alone and have 20 cats. And it was purely an innocent thing. I wasn't even trying to start something. And that was where we started. That's how we started. It was public comments on our blogs. Anybody could have read our comments back and forth. And then it was email. And then it went straight to email. And we would still comment on each other's blogs, but our real conversations were through email because we had a connection. So when you reach out to them in a sort of private way, whether it's a Facebook message or it's an email or it's a private message on Twitter or whatever it may be, keep it light and keep it friendly and keep it real. Be who you are. Be genuine. Okay. Don't become a predator. Don't like go on the prowl like you're going to hunt down a dominant and, you know, take him down like you're taking down a lion or something. Okay. The reason for this And the reason I want to keep stressing, don't turn this into a game and be who you are, is because you need, in my opinion, to be friends with your dominant before you are anything. The best, strongest relationships, kinky, vanilla, or otherwise, start with friendship, okay? From what I've seen, my experience, and other really strong DS couples, dominant and submissive tend to be best friends. Does that mean a submissive doesn't have other best friends? Of course, that doesn't mean that at all. But you have to get to know each other in order to do DS well. You have to get to know each other on a level that you will likely never get to know another human being. Start as friends. Do not go on the prowl. Do not go out on the hunt for this good dominant that you think you found. Become their friend first, okay? So here's the reality check, okay? Here's the thing that I want to sort of stress. It's not always going to work, okay? It's not. You're going to send out the message and they're going to send back a one-word reply, and that's not enough to start a conversation. You're going to go, oh, that didn't work. It's okay. It's not a reflection of you. It's not a rejection of you. It's just the energy's not there. And it might just be the energy's not there that day. They may come back around, you know, weeks later. I had that happen. I had somebody that I thought, oh, they might be a cool person to know. And I messaged them and nothing. It was like crickets. And I couldn't get anything started from the sad little reply I got. And then weeks later, they were in a different place, a different mood, a different whatever. And they reached out. And nothing clearly ever happened. Hello, I have John Brownstone. But that does happen, okay? But the reason I tell you to do it this way is that there's a few things. Like I said, you want to be their friend. You need their friendship. Y'all need to earn each other's trust. And you need to learn how to communicate with one another. And in my opinion, if you're looking for long term, if you're looking for loving, if you're looking for what you think you want based on what you maybe see between me and John Brownstone, or you see in somebody else's blog or whatever, you got to have their friendship, you've got to have their trust, and you've got to be able to communicate. And the best way to learn how to communicate with somebody is to be their friend first, where there's not sort of the pressure of the sexual part, or in our case, the power exchange part, where you're just getting to know somebody, you just talk to them, and you feel like you kind of have nothing to lose. You know what you're looking for, but you have this feeling like, you know, if this person's not the one, okay, that's okay. I'll know a cool person in the lifestyle, and, you know, great, wonderful, okay? But the other part of it is that I need you to learn that it is okay to be the one to reach out first. You will usually shock a good dominant because they are used to those random ass messages like John Brownstone gets, okay? I personally think that some dominants prefer it if you make that first move, okay? First of all, they have to be careful because they have to tread lightly so that nobody thinks they're the predator. They're not, but one wrong word and somebody, you know, might freak out. But you've indicated your interest when you reach out first. You've shown that you're strong enough and confident enough, even if you are faking that confidence, that's okay. Fake it till you make it. But you're showing that you have this confidence to make the first move, okay? That first move doesn't have to be sexual or kinky in any way, shape, or form, but you are saying that you are strong enough within yourself and you have the confidence, or like I said, you have faked the confidence, like I did, to reach out and accept that you might be potentially rejected. And all you're doing is it's a friendly comment, but somebody might go, I don't want to talk to that person. That doesn't do anything for me. And you don't know that. And you have been the one to make that move. That shows strength that most of us as submissives, I think some of us, it takes us a while. When we're new to submission, when we're new to DS, we probably don't think we're very strong at all. A lot of us sort of think, well, I'm the needy one. I was always the needy one in my relationships, and that's why I was dumped, or that's why that relationship failed, or, you know, I'm too needy, I'm too much. Well, it's because of part of it is because of the nature of what we are as submissives and who we are as submissives. And what we don't realize is we're actually very strong. We are strong enough to be vulnerable with our partner and say, I need you. You know, I need something from you. At the same time, trying to give something of ourselves. And until we figure out submission and we figure out that DS is a thing, I know from personal experience, you can feel like you're a total freak. You're like, what is wrong with me? Why am I like this? Well, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just how you relate in a relationship. And if you can show a dominant that you are even remotely interested in on even a small level, like they might just be a cool friend and you'd like to get to know them, that you have that kind of inner strength and confidence to reach out and go, okay, you might reject me, but I'm just going to say hi. You know, I'm just going to say, hey, here I am. I think you're cool. You know, I love that you love Doctor Who or whatever your common interest is, right? That's impressive to some of them, especially if they are not necessarily, you know, looking for a submissive either, but if they're open to the possibility of it. When you do that as a submissive, when you reach out, you've given each of you the opportunity to get to know each other before anybody makes a move as a dominant or a submissive, okay? Because when you do it from a submissive persona, you're not being submissive when you do that. You're just being another human being and you're saying, hi, I know you're kinky and I'm kinky, but I like this thing that you said and I like that you make me laugh. I mean, I think that I thanked John Brownstone. Thank you for making me smile. Thank you for making me laugh. I needed it and I appreciate it and I'm grateful to you for it. And that was my message. And I swear to you, I sweated through my shirt. I was terrified because I'd never done anything like that before, but it was important to me. I needed to let him know that he had touched me in such a way when I needed it most. I had no expectation of anything else. But by doing that, I gave him the clear signal that it was okay to reach out to me. Again, not in a sexual or kinky way, just as one human being to the next. And when you make that first move, you give that green light. Now, what comes of it, who the hell knows? Okay, that's between you and the other person and your sort of individual energies and, you know, everything. There's a million things. It might appear to work at first and then it doesn't work. It might go nowhere. You might just make a really good friend in the online community and then, you know, have a sounding board or somebody you can ask questions of because they're your friend. That's valuable in and of itself, okay? You want to find the good dom, but there's nothing wrong with creating your own set of friendships. For John Brownstone and myself, I was adamant. I was not looking for anybody. I was not interested, but he became my friend. He became kind of my mentor in some ways. And when it started becoming clear to me that there was something going on was when we were talking about potential future relationships, not with one another. And I said, I can't imagine not talking to you. I can't imagine you not being a part of my life. He said, but Kayla, if you find a dominant, they're not going to allow me to have this role in your life, you know, to know you, sure, to be friendly with you. Yeah, but to talk to you like we do, I'm not going to be allowed to do that. A dominant's not going to allow that. And I got mad. I got mad at this pretend dominant I didn't even know because I was like, who is going to keep me from John Brownstone? That is not okay. Well, hello, ding, ding, ding. If that didn't tell me anything, I don't know what would. It still took me a while for it to sink in that, no, I wanted him and I didn't know I wanted him. And I know the situation is different when you are, you know, actively seeking your dominant, but it from everybody I've ever talked to, sometimes it's the people you really just don't think it will be. And then you find a connection and a shared energy and a vibe and you go, oh, you're my person. I didn't know you were my person. You're my person. Well, you're going to have to come over here and be my person forever. And that's where John Brownstone and I are. Now, I said earlier that sometimes you're going to send that message out and it's not going to work and you're not going to get anything back and it's going to fizzle and just be, you know, a dud. Okay. Well, here's the other side of that. And, you know, and you send the message out and it works. And, yeah, you have your own John Brownstone and, yay, life is good. Okay, here's the third option, and it's the one you need to be prepared for. You're going to try these things, and you're going to connect with somebody, and you're going to start a conversation, and they're going to seem to be everything you think you want. And in reality, they're going to be a predator that's really good at this game, that plays this game online all the time. So they've perfected it. They know what to say. They know how to act. They, you know, have the language down, and it's scary, right? Because you have to be wary. And the good dominants you know, if they've been online for more than 5 minutes, they understand this is the reality and they are willing to be patient with you until you, and earn your trust until you realize that they are not a predator. But when you come across somebody and you're like, okay, is this the real deal? Is this a bad guy, right? Is this somebody who's messing with me or playing with me or gonna ask for something that I might give but I'm uncomfortable doing it? Here's what I want you to do, and it's a hard thing. to me, it's easy because I'm used to it now, but it can be very difficult. I want you to listen to your gut instinct, okay? Your intuition. Now, a lot of us spend years ignoring it, years ignoring our intuition. And man, we go down some shitty ass paths in life, don't we? And I say that as somebody who did. 3 days before my wedding to my ex-husband, I had this thought of, should I marry him? He's not working. My dad just died. Literally, my dad had died like a few weeks prior to my wedding. I don't know if I'm in a good place to get married right now. It just doesn't feel right. And then I said, no, I'm sure that's wrong. I'm sure it's just jitters. And I moved on and I ignored my instinct. Now, I believe that everything in life happens for a reason, and we can't be the people who we are today without everything that's happened to us before. So I don't regret having married him. I wouldn't have my children without that marriage. But that was a moment where my instinct was like screaming at me, like, what are you doing? You know, your dad just died and here you are getting married and you don't even know if you want to marry him, and what the hell are you doing, right? So we have that ability to have this, you know, instinct inside of us to tell us, you know, stop, no, bad, you know, walk away, turn around. And we tend to ignore that voice or that feeling. So if you are dealing with somebody that you want them to be a good dominant and they seem to be saying all the right things, you need to listen very carefully to yourself. And if something doesn't feel right about the other person and their words don't match their attitude, or they make you feel uneasy, even if you can't explain it, and they say all the right things to you, but then they treat you or other people in ways that don't match their words, all those things, listen to that, okay? Pay attention to that. Do not get so lost in this dream of this beautiful DS relationship that you're building in your mind that you ignore the voice of unease inside of you that says, ooh, I don't think this is right. I don't think this is good, okay? There's going to come a point, I'm going to make this sound easier than it is, because what I'm going to say is when that happens, you need to walk away. You need to distance yourself. First of all, if you distance yourself and they're not expecting it, you'll probably see their true colors. Eventually, everybody's true colors come out. It might take a while, but eventually everybody's come out. The good dominant is going to understand. They're going to be working for your trust every day. They're going to be working for your submission every day if you get to that point with them. If you're not even to that point with them yet and they're already making you feel uneasy, listen to that. Do not let your desire to submit or your feelings of loneliness or, you know, your impatience with the whole process, because I know submissives, we tend to be impatient. Do not let that derail you and have you allow you to continue moving forward in something that makes you feel very, very uneasy. Okay. Listen to your intuition. Listen to that little niggling voice that goes, something's not right here. Okay. The good dominant who is truly trying to earn your trust and at the minimum trying to just earn your friendship and be your friend, they are going to understand. They're going to say, okay, I get it. What's the problem? How can I help? And you might be able to work through it. And you might not be able to work through it. But listen, I have never met anyone who truly felt their intuition tell them something wrong that didn't end up being right if they listened to it. Or they could say, you know, looking back in hindsight, oh God, yeah, I knew something wasn't right and I didn't act on it. Act on it if something doesn't feel right. I don't care if they say all the right words. I don't care if you follow every piece of advice I've laid out for you and you think you've done it all right. If you come across the person that doesn't make, that make, gives you that yucky feeling, listen to that yucky feeling. Okay. Okay, really? I totally like ranted there. I think I was nicer about that rant, but I still ranted. Oh my gosh. I got myself off track. I ranted so bad. So now that I've scared you about predators, sorry about that. What I would probably say in sort of closing and wrapping all this up, a lot of you wonder where all the good doms are because you've only ever found the fakes and the assholes. And without knowing you and knowing your situation, my first question would be, how are you approaching them? What are you doing when they approach you? What's happening? Because what it may just be is that it's time to try a different method. Now, if you've tried all these things and it's still not working, well, we're going to need somebody who's better at this than I am. But based on the people that I meet and that talk to me and tell me things, I'm betting that you've tried some of it and not all of it, right? Like you ignore the crappy ones, but you also ignore your own intuition, or you're waiting for somebody to make the first move. And the one that makes the first move ends up being the overly aggressive you know, one that you don't want, that doesn't give you that comfortable feeling, or isn't trying to be your friend first. So it's time to try something different. If you are unsatisfied with sort of your pool of candidates to get to know and think, well, maybe this one will be a good one for me, it's time to try something different, okay? I don't think my method is the only one. And really, if you met somebody, you know, a fellow kinkster online or in person, because hello, y'all know how I feel about munches, right? And you didn't do any of that and you did something completely different and it worked for you, I want to know about that, okay? I can only tell you what I've done myself and what I have seen other people do or not do and how that sort of worked out for them, okay? But really, the absolute bottom line to this whole thing about meeting a good dom and how do you do it and where are they? They're not hiding, y'all. They're not. There's no special way to meet a kinkster and the perfect for you dom, okay? Yeah, go to where kinky people gather. That is certainly helpful. Again, munches. I will always recommend munches. I don't care how scared you are, go to a munch. But it's about making a connection with another human being, okay? This is about finding friendship first. This is about finding common interests and common purpose and getting to know people and, you know, working on becoming the friend of a dominant before you become the submissive of a dominant, okay? That's how you find the good ones. It's not a specific place to go to or a specific question to ask or a specific set of criteria to have. It's making connections with real people and remembering that kinksters are people, or people first, okay? It doesn't matter what flavor of we have for our relationship, you still want to get to know somebody that makes you laugh and makes you think and earned your trust and earned your respect. That's what you want to work on. So yeah, you're looking specifically for doms, and I totally get that. These are my suggestions. This is what I would tell somebody to do, and several of you asked, and so here, we'll kill several birds with one stone. Here, this is what I think you should try. Now, like I said before, somebody out there is going to think I'm dead ass wrong about it, and that's cool. And somebody's going to say, I did this, but I didn't do that, and I did that, and I've never heard of that, and it worked for me. I want to know, okay? If you have a completely, you know, completely different, full 180 degree difference for me way, and it worked, tell us about it. Share in the comment section on the show notes page, or email me. You know, if you did this and you can go, yes, this actually works, and that method works, and that one didn't work for me, but maybe this one did. Let us know, okay? So we can all learn from one another, because I get it. It's stressful. It's stressful to be a single submissive and to be afraid of everybody who messages you out of the blue because you don't know what you're dealing with, and to not know, is there a certain way you're supposed to act? Is there a certain way you're supposed to be? And if you don't do certain things, are you seen as a bad submissive? No good dominant is going to tell you from the get-go that you're a bad submissive because you didn't bow down before them before you even got to know them, or, you know, found out their name or anything. Okay. Anybody who does that to you is not a good dominant. So if you're looking, try these things out. And if they work, please let me know. And if they don't work, please let me know. So that I can learn more and do better for other people who may ask. But just, you know, go out there with the expectation of meeting a nice person, not your forever dom or your version of John Brownstone or your version of this person or your version of that person, okay? That's not the best way to approach it, in my opinion. So, have I ranted enough for everybody? Gosh, I hope so. Feel free, if you have any other questions, you can always, you know, email me or email John Brownstone. Comment, you know, reach out to me on Twitter or Tumblr. Y'all have reached out to me in so many places. It's cool. Keep doing it. Yes, I'm on FetLife too. I don't use it very much, but I am there. And keep asking these good questions, because y'all make me think and y'all make me sort of defend what I believe. And I don't tell y'all things I don't truly believe are real and true, at least for some of us. So that's it for me this week. Keep the messages coming, keep the questions coming, keep the topic suggestions coming, and please keep listening. Keep it kinky, y'all, and we'll see you next week.